ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
I'd like you to think about the most basic tool you use most often every day. It could be a pen, a fork, a watch, ordinary everyday objects that you take for granted. They might not look flashy, but once upon a time, they were a design revolution. So what do we take for granted now that once caused a stir? Welcome to Extraordinary Everyday, where we take the objects you may barely notice and trace their surprising and often delightful design evolution. Its silhouette hasn't changed much for centuries, but the umbrella has lived a surprisingly eventful life. From shielding ancient Egyptians from the sun to concealing the occasional assassin's weapon, this modest object of shelter has a design history far more dramatic than it lets on. And who better to guide us through it than Marion Rankin, author of Broliology, A History of the Umbrella in Life and Literature. Hello, Marion.
Hello, how are you?
Thank you for joining me today and talking about the humble Broly. So when do we see the first umbrella in history?
Probably in ancient China. Dates thrown around are about 4,000 years ago. Umbrella stays were found in the tomb of a Chinese warlord dating from 25 BCE. But yeah, I think it goes back further than that. And the more I think about it, the more I think, you know, an umbrella is just a glorified tree, really, isn't it? The idea of umbrella, of a sheltering kind of dome, I think just presents itself very naturally within nature.
And was it more of a rain thing or a sun thing?
It was originally more of a sun thing. So I think the earliest umbrellas were sort of in African nations in the Middle East, used as sun shields over ancient rulers and monarchs. There was a huge degree of sort of veneration and respect associated with the umbrella and with being in kind of this almost sacred shadow.
There's definitely something of the royal pageant involved with having an umbrella held over one's crown, I guess.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And the person who did the holding, of course, being a slave or a social subordinate in various cultures. So it was seen as kind of a very privileged thing to have that protection from the sun.
Were they elaborate? I mean, I'm thinking if it's royal pageantry, were they decorated or were they fairly utilitarian types of things?
From what I've read, umbrella design has been incredibly creative throughout the ages. Lots of different cultures have very elaborately carved elements of the umbrella, like the handles being made of all sorts of precious materials, incredibly fine workmanship, the canopies being bedecked with jewels as almost an object of state kind of a function. They could be immensely valuable and rich-looking and sumptuous.
What does the actual word umbrella mean?
So it comes from the Latin umbella, meaning parasol or sunshade, which points to its original meaning as a sun shelter rather than a rain shelter. But it also means little shadow.
So you mentioned the 19th century and umbrellas in Britain. I was wondering when the first umbrella was used in Europe, or in that European sense?
The first ones will have come to Europe from travellers who were going to, say, the Middle East, seeing them used as sunshades, brought them back. There was a particular character named Jonas Hanway, who was a business and philanthropist, social campaigner. At one point, I think he was campaigning against the drinking of tea in England.
What on earth for?
I have absolutely no idea.
Oh, Jonas, we've got a bone to pick here. Seriously.
It was definitely a losing battle.
Yeah.
But he brought an umbrella back from his travels through Russia and the Middle East. It was probably from what was then known as Persia. And he realized how useful it would be in defending his wig and his outfit from the rain in England. But at the time, that was met with derision and mockery.
Oh, really?
And yeah, people carrying umbrellas at that stage, so that's the 18th century, it was frowned.
Or dismissed, maybe.
Dismissed, mocked.
So what did one do to keep out of the rain when one was walking the streets of London prior to this?
Prior to this, they had mantles, capes, coats, oiled cloth, basically, basically raincoats, or you used a carriage. So if you were walking around with an umbrella, in some ways that could almost be seen as a sign that you couldn't afford to get a carriage.
So there's this whole thing about umbrellas opening them inside being bad luck. Where did that all come from?
That's a bit of a tricky one to track down. I was doing some research and it seems like it's sort of a marriage of superstition and practicality. Superstition on the side of, you know, not wanting to offend the spirits of the house, or the kind of shade cast by an umbrella has in previous times symbolized death, like an ancient ruler, if he cast the shadow of his umbrella over someone, it could either symbolize that they were under the protection of their king, or it could symbolize that they'd been marked for death.
That's mad.
It is, isn't it? So that kind of, I guess it's the double life that shadows lead of being a place of shelter, but also being almost a scary place to be or uncertain.
And that superstition, when did that kind of really kick in, do you think? I've always known that, you know, but I mean, is that a kind of like a Victorian era thing?
Yeah, well, I think the other side of that belief about it being bad luck to open umbrellas and indoors was probably just a question of practicality, because in Europe, once European umbrella manufacture, you know, once they started trying to produce their own umbrellas, they were really unruly objects, large, pointy. They didn't have hinges. They were strung together with wire. So all these spokes made of, you know, whalebone or later on steel. And there's a lot of mentions in literature from that time, particularly in Dickens, have umbrellas being like really bothersome, cumbersome objects that get in everyone's space. So I think it was there was this element of like, don't open umbrella indoors because, you know, something's going to break.
Right. Started off as social decorum and then became superstition.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah.
So, and there is this site, this also these stories of umbrellas being used in history as weapons and armor and all of those kinds of fabulous unexpected uses for umbrellas. Have you got a favourite one of those?
Yeah, this is something I love about umbrellas, is their sort of transformational potential. I mean, even just the visual transformation of opening one, it's quite striking. And that has obviously captured human imaginations for many, many years. So it's been used as a shield, obviously from the sun, from the rain. I like the German for umbrella, Regenschirm, meaning rain shield. And I think Queen Victoria had chainmail sewn into some of her parasols following an assassination attempt. And apparently in 2011, the president of France at the time, Nicolas Sarkozy, had a Kevlar umbrella manufactured for his bodyguards to carry.
Oh, that's so Mission Impossible.
At the cost of £10,000.
Yeah, wow.
And there was actually an assassination in London in 1978. A Bulgarian dissident writer named Georgi Markov was just, I think he was getting out or getting into a cab off Waterloo Bridge, and he felt sharp pain in his leg. And a few days later, he died. And it was later found that he'd been injected with a pellet of rice by the modified tip of an umbrella. It was a time when umbrellas were completely everyday normal thing to be carrying around. So who would suspect?
They became an object of spycraft.
Absolutely, yeah. And prior to that, there was an umbrella sword stick, which had a thin sword concealed in the post.
So was there a peak era for umbrellas? Or are we in peak umbrella now?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say it was the early 20th century, late 19th century. That's when it was sort of really, really having its heyday, certainly in Europe. That's where that kind of very quintessential idea of Britishness involving an umbrella sort of comes from. It was a mark of self-respectability. You know, if you're a gentleman, you carried an umbrella and you rolled it a particular way and you kept it looking nice. It was an object to be treasured. I do think these days, I think it's kind of sad the mass production of umbrellas to be quite disposable. It's very difficult to treasure an umbrella, I think.
Do you think that's changing? Or do you think there's a resurgence in a design interest in the umbrella? I mean, I'm thinking now of umbrellas that are clear with polka dots on them. I kind of feel like they're taking on colour again and they're taking on ideas again. Am I overthinking this?
No, I don't think you are. Although I do think that they've always captured the imagination in some ways. Just sort of reading through the history of umbrella inventions, there's an extraordinary array of designs that have come out, you know, things that have like little perfume bottles concealed in the handles, or early versions of a pop-up brolly, parasols that opened with one click of a button. I think people have been tinkering with the design of this object for a very long time because there's just so much potential in it. And yeah, I think there's been some interesting innovations lately, like trying to make them more windproof.
So what's the future of the umbrella look like to you? Do you think it's the new canvas, or do you think there's a new technological future somehow involved with the umbrella?
There's a really good quote from a writer named Charlie Connolly, who wrote a book about the weather in Britain. He said, "You can't download an app to replace the umbrella." And I just think that captures it so well. I love the fact that in its kind of central conception, it's remained, like as you were saying before, that kind of quintessential umbrella shape. It's remained constant for a very, very long time. I went to an art exhibition in 2013 in London. It was called The Rain Room. Basically, the artist created a field of rain within a room using sprinklers and a drainage system. And there are these very sensitive sensors installed in the sprinklers so that as soon as you put any part of your body underneath it, they'd shut off. So it was this experience of walking through a field of rain without getting wet, but also without having an umbrella. And it was quite
eerie, I bet.
Eerie, yeah. Completely unsettling in a really intriguing way that really made me think about like how much we rely on these objects for that particular function and how strange it feels to be in a position where your body can mirror that function. So I like to imagine that there might be some sort of future where we have sort of, you know, invisible rain shields.
I like that. Although I quite like the idea of it being fashionable to carry around an umbrella again. Although I can't kind of see it happening, but I like the idea of it very much.
Yes, I do too. I do too. They're very comforting, and I like how they give you a little room within a public space or a little personal space bubble.
That's so interesting. Marion, thanks so much for talking to me today about the not-so-humble umbrella.
Thank you very much.
Marion Rankin, author of Brollology. And it looks like you love Extraordinary Everyday as much as we do. Zuli wrote in saying they loved the episode on kettles and went on to ask, could you please discuss tea, history, uptake and current availability, and focus on tea leaves, not jiggling. Tea leaves make the ritual. Sadly, most supermarkets now only stock tea bags. Thanks for the suggestion, Zuli, and if you have one, email us at bydesign@abc.net.au. As always, if you enjoyed the episode, make sure you follow the show on ABC Listen. Just search Anthony Burke's By Design.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.